Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again, another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. Tonight, we're going to continue with what I started last week. And if you were with us, excuse the short little summary. If you weren't with us, I'm going to do a little summary and also remind you that there's a website, www.giftofgraceministries.org, giftofgraceministries.org, which has all the radio programs archived back to 2009. So you can go back and listen to last week's show or any other show if you want to go through all those choices. But the basic summary of what we did last week from Luke chapter 5 was that Jesus was teaching in a house. Everyone knew about him. And the house was full of people. There were a group of people that had a friend or a relative. It doesn't really tell us who was paralyzed. He had what the Greek calls the Greek language calls a palsy, which is a weakness of some kind. And they were so convinced that Jesus could heal this man that they went to the house where he was teaching. They opened up the roof. The translation I used said tiles, but They did not have tile roofs then. They probably had straw roofs or something like that. But anyway, they cut a hole in the roof and lowered this man, still on his pallet, down onto the floor right in front of Jesus. And when we left off last week's program, he commented that he was amazed by the faith that these people had. He was moved by their faith. And the other group of people, of course, that were present were Pharisees. There were Pharisees there, as they always were, and they were listening to the teaching. They were trying to find evidence that he was a false teacher. They were trying to find evidence that would implicate him in some way so that they could punish him, they could scheme against him, they could remove him from the scene, even at this point in his ministry. And they were there as well, but they, of course, did not have the word in them. You know, Jesus commonly talks in the Gospels about having the word in you. And if you have the word in you, compared to if you don't have the word in you, you accept things by faith or you don't accept things by faith, depending. And these important people were not moved by his words. They were not there to learn. They were not there to hear a teaching. They were not there to necessarily see a miracle. They were trying to get information about him. And the people who were there were actually interested in what he was talking about. And so they were listening while the religious leaders, the educated people, it's interesting that when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he describes toward the end of the chapter, I can't remember the verse, but he describes people who are always studying but never coming to knowledge. There's people who always have a lot of information but don't actually know the truth about the knowledge or what the fundamental power of the word is. They just have a lot of knowledge. And so here, maybe I should read before we go on from that. maybe I should go back to the beginning. Always makes it better to read it, because as Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, always says, you should get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. And so we should always take that opportunity to actually read it. And so back to, now it happened on a certain day as he was preaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling of the roof into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees who began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But you, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. So quite a miracle, quite a display of power. And he commends these people's faith for bringing this paralyzed man. They had heard about his miracles. They knew that Jesus could cure their friend or their relative or whoever he was. They had faith enough to understand that he had the power to heal him. And they wanted to put him right in front of Jesus. And they worked very hard at it. They had to carry his pallet, too, along with the weight of the man on the pallet. So they really had to do a lot of work to bring him there. Then they had to do a lot of work to get him on the rooftop of the house, cut a hole in the roof, and then lower him. This was a tremendous amount of physical work, but in their spiritual minds, they knew, they had faith to know that he could be healed and that Jesus was the one who had the power to heal him. So they worked hard, and we have to work hard. One of the lessons of this is that we have to work hard to bring people to Jesus. It's not always easy to do it. It's not always a one-sentence testimony or a one-sentence evangelization, and the person immediately comes to faith. Sometimes it's hard work, but we have the faith to know that he can spiritually heal people. We know that the person that we're talking to, the person that we're evangelizing, that we're witnessing to, can be healed spiritually by what Jesus did on the cross and is still doing. So these people had no question that this man could be healed, and they did a lot of work. You know, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, he's doing a teaching at the time, and the roof opens up, and this some kind of pallet with this poor paralyzed man on it is lowered down from the roof of the house. So the teaching is interrupted. But you see, Jesus' reaction to this is he's moved by their faith. He doesn't say anything about, I'm here teaching, and now I have this interruption. Now, you guys have interrupted the whole thing. I've lost my train of thought. I wish you guys would have waited till later. He stops his teaching and comments about his faith. And then he knows that the Pharisees are there, of course, whether they're actually in the house, whether they're looking in the windows or wherever. He knows that they're there. And he wants to make a point to them of why he, as Messiah, has come into the world. This goes back to Genesis 3:15 of why a Redeemer is needed, because we have no way to cure ourselves. We have no way to make up for our set by ourselves for things that we've done and things that we continue to do. And so we need grace. We need forgiveness. And this comes through faith. And this comes through repentance. And so he wants to make a point to these Pharisees who are experts in the law. There's teachers of the law there who are basically people who know every word, every punctuation mark of the law, and are quick to point out to people who's keeping the law and who isn't. And the bottom line always seems to be they were keeping the law and nobody else was. And so to show them who he was and why he came, and again, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, which is a direct reference to the book of Daniel, which aggravates these religious leaders all the more. And considering he knew, as we see in this text, that they were there to trap him, he says to this man, your sins are forgiven. Because of this faith that he had and that his friends lowered him there, the first thing he says to them is, your sins are forgiven, which is ultimately why he came. Not everyone is physically healed. People suffer any manner of chronic illnesses, acute illnesses that lead to death. Not everyone is healed. Many people are healed. My own grandson had a miracle healing, seen people healed, but not everyone is healed. But the important part of this is that his sin is forgiven. Because after all, your physical healing without your spiritual healing doesn't really amount to much. It may give you another 20, 30 years of physical life, but your spiritual healing gives you an eternity with him. And it's based on mercy and grace. Because if your sin's not forgiven, if your sins are not forgiven, a physical healing really wouldn't amount to much on its own. Like Jesus himself said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good does it do you? If you have $1 billion in the bank and you live to be 150 and you have a great life and then you suddenly die and you're lost, in a very short amount of time, you're going to forget all about the fact that you had $1 billion because it's going to be meaningless. So the forgiveness of sins is why he came. This is why we need a Messiah. This is why we need a Savior. This is what all of the Torah and the prophets and the writings of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, pointed to. So he pronounces this first because he has the authority to forgive sin. And of course, he knows what the Pharisees are thinking. You see in this passage where they're thinking this and he reads their thoughts and comments. Because when somebody says your sins are forgiven, anybody would immediately think in their mind, well, wait a minute, who do you think you are? And they said, wait a minute, This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. No human person can say your sins are forgiven. So they're thinking this in their mind. They saw this man come down, paralyzed. At this point, he's still paralyzed. And they hear this teacher, this very popular, very powerful rabbi say, your sins are forgiven. So their reaction is, this is blasphemy. So because the gospel's generally preached, many times preached, and in biblical times almost always preached with signs and wonders. They still happen today, but the gospel's preached with signs and wonders. So Jesus uses that to say, just so you know that I have the power to forgive sin, just so you know that I have the authority to forgive sin, just so you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin, he tells the man to get up and walk. And now everybody who's in the house, the guy's friends, the people who were listening to the teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, see this paralyzed man get up, and he picks up his pallet, and Jesus tells him to go home. Now, this is the first time in Luke's gospel that he uses the term Son of Man. He's always been the Son of God. He's always been the second person of the Trinity. Son is, of course, a functional term. We're not going to get into aspects of the Trinity, but he's co-equal of the same essence, the same substance. He's co-eternal. He is God. He's not less God than the Father or less God than the Spirit. He's always been the Son of God. But now he starts to use the term the Son of Man. He was born of a woman, born under the law, as Paul says in Galatians. But he shows these religious leaders this amazing miracle that shows, number one, the proof of his divinity, but even more importantly, the idea that he came to forgive sin, and he is still here to forgive sin. The cross is still working over 2,000 years. The cross was not an issue just on Good Friday. It's an issue every second since then. So it's a proof of his divinity, but it points to the fact that he forgave the man's sin. These Pharisees couldn't grasp this. They were the teachers. They were the authorities. They were the ones who were, quote, set apart. They were the ones who were holy. And now they see this man who was paralyzed, picking up his pallet and walking away, glorifying God. It says that he walked away, apparently on his way to his house, and he's glorifying God. Well, he doesn't comment. We don't hear any comments from the man in terms of, gee, I'm really glad my sins were forgiven. And I don't know how he would have reacted to that statement. But one thing for sure, in his humanity, as would happen to us in our humanity, he was probably very excited, very happy, very ecstatic that he was now able to walk, and that somehow this teacher had healed him of his physical disease. We don't know what he thought about his spiritual healing, if he would even have had a way to know that. But he leaves glorifying God. This man has been transformed, not only physically, but spiritually, because his sins are forgiven. So everyone in the room, everyone in that house, it says, was amazed. They were amazed at each of these miracles. They were amazed. They had seen this awesome sign. And it it points out there that it says they were all amazed and glorified God. They were all amazed and glorified God because what they had seen, for what they had seen. And they were filled with fear. They were filled with fear. This is fear of the Lord, so to speak. The Greek word that's used there is a very strong word, and it means terrified. They were terrified at the thought of what they had seen. Who was this teacher? How could someone have done this? The people in the house did not hear the Pharisees verbally say out loud, "What kind of blasphemy is this? Because only God can forgive sin." But they saw Jesus, know what their thoughts were, and respond to their thoughts. So, back to this idea of forgiving sin, these men who were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did nothing but study the scripture. This was all they did. They read, they studied, they read commentaries, they made their own commentaries, they debated with their colleagues. This was their whole life. They had learned not only the law, but had learned traditions. Their traditions had increased in number very astronomically, exponentially. There were more and more traditions all the time. And the traditions gave them more room to criticize, to condemn. And this is why Jesus said, "Your traditions make my word of no effect because you teach them as law. You teach human precepts as law." So these men, instead of realizing that the Messiah was there, that this was the Messiah in the flesh, forgiving sin and healing, they were upset. They were offended. They didn't even want to entertain the possibility that something incredible was going on here, because their pride in their knowledge, and again, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the pride of their knowledge and the extent of knowledge that they had compared to these uneducated, gullible people who were listening to this man teach, not to mention these working people who were his disciples and apostles who didn't know anything, came from an uneducated area where everybody's life was spent working. They weren't following the law. They weren't students of the law. They weren't teachers of the law. The Pharisees had the teachers of law. They had the teachers of Israel. They had all of the religious power and a lot of civil power. They could not come to grips with the fact of what was happening here. They were offended. They were upset. They were insulted by this. This is someone outside of our group who doesn't know anything, and he's blaspheming. So while the other people in the house, the ordinary people, the common people in the house, are glorifying God, are totally blown away and seized by the fear of the Lord, these religious leaders are insulted and they're angry, and they want nothing to do with this. So Jesus shows why he came to forgive sin. How do we know he has authority? Well, he heals sick people. He multiplies food. Blind people can see. Deaf people can hear. Raises people from the dead. All of these things are sign of authority that ordinary people, ordinary teachers, don't have. So while the common people got this lesson, the religious educated people did not. Oh, I know the music's already playing. Oh, these sessions go so fast. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in. Join us again next week on The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.